We trust you enjoyed that number. This is the Mercies of God coming to you from Little Rock, Arkansas, and now we want you to bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how we thank thee today that we have the privilege of walking with thee and fellowshipping with thee because thou hast become our Redeemer and our friend. We thank thee today for the privilege we have of broadcasting thy truth over the radio, and we ask, Lord, thy blessing upon it, because without thy hand upon it, this will only be an abomination of the flesh. And so, Lord, we wait upon thee for a blessing, and we ask thee to anoint this endeavor and make it acceptable in thy sight. Then use it as a medium of thine to communicate the truth of God to these hearts that need to know thee. We pray out there, O Lord, for the radio audience out there. We ask that thou will especially be with those that are sick and afflicted, those also that are discouraged and downhearted. We pray, our God, that thou will encourage them and show them that underneath are thy everlasting arms, and that they can never fall or be overtaken except, Lord, thou permit it. And so we praise thee that nothing can separate us from thy love, and how gracious and good thou art. So take and use this broadcast for thy glory, Lord. Continue to supply the needs as only thou art able, and above everything else, exalt thyself in all that's done. We pray now for Christ's sake. Amen.
Take your Bibles now and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 10. For every priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh his honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Our subject today, the pain of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we shall again look at the Lord Jesus Christ and see the various emotions that he exhibited while here on this earth. Today, for a few moments, we shall see the pain of Christ, the reasons for it, and the result of his enduring this pain. My hope is that all of us will appreciate our Lord a little more after this study. Now, we need to recognize right from the outset one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ did no sin, had no sin, and knew no sin. Yet he became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Then the second thing we need to understand is this. The Lord Jesus Christ was both God and man while he was here on this earth. And today we're going to look at the pain of Christ that he suffered as a man. He was a perfect man. He was an absolute man. And he was a strong man. He was a compassionate man. And yet at the same time, he was absolutely very God of very God. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is a unique personality. And today, as we study him, we shall see the pain of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, our lesson will fall into this category. Number one, the existence of pain in this world. This world in which we live is a painful world. Children cry, mothers cry, fathers cry, teenagers cry, adults cry, everybody cries because of pain. And we find, why is there so much pain in this world at this present hour? Well, let me show you very clearly from the Word of God why there is this kind of pain. Take your Bibles now and turn back with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3 and look with me at verse 17 down through verse 19. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now what do we have here? The existence of pain in this world was caused by the fall of mankind.
You see, when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, we fell with him. And because of the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, we were there, we sinned with him because we were in Adam. The result of Adam's sin is this. Today, at this present hour, there is sorrow, pain, and grief. Take your Bibles now and let me show you how the Word of God describes that for us in a minute detail. In Job chapter 33, we find the Word of God is plain concerning this. Job chapter 33, and look with me, if you will, at verse 39. Or verse 19, I should say. And this is what it says. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitudes of his bone with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. And my friend, that's exactly what it is. We see it set forth for our learning. And we find very clearly that Job said, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. You see, pain and sorrow is caused by the fall of mankind. Now turn, if you will, to Psalm chapter 32 and look with me again. In Psalm chapter 32, the Word of God says some more about pain in this earth. In Psalm 32, verse 10, we read, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him round about. And we see that pain is caused by the fall of mankind. Now, the second thing about pain is this. It's the composition of our life on this planet. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Take your Bibles now. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8, if you will. Look with me at verse 18 down through verse 22. If there's one thing we need to understand, and that is this. This entire planet is in pain at this hour. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now, what do you have here? This is a composition of our life on this planet. This entire planet is in pain because of sin. Then, the third thing about pain is this. It's not only caused by the fall of mankind. It is a composition of our life on this planet, but it is compounded or diminished depending on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Do you mean to tell me then that an individual who's in Christ will not have pain? No, we don't say that at all. People who are in Christ will have pain, but I'll tell you right now, their pain will not be compounded. It will be diminished if they are in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17, we find very clearly, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. A person may ignore Christ, they may die without Christ, and they will if they ignore him. They may say, the Lord Jesus Christ is not necessary in my life, and they die and go to hell. And I'll tell you right now, their pain will be compounded all through eternity. You see, the pain of the individual is compounded or diminished depending upon our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You think you're in pain now, my sinner friend? Just keep on like you are. The way of the transgressor is hard. And rest assured of this, that if you continue like you are and die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll spend an eternity in a devil's hell, suffering the torments of the damned. And I'll tell you this, your pain will be compounded or diminished depending upon your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who are in Christ, while we are here on this earth, yes, we have pain. We are made to suffer. We understand that because Paul tells us that through much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom of God. But when we die, we shall be free from pain, and we shall be free from sorrow and death, and we shall be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is joy forevermore. So you see, pain is either compounded or diminished depending upon our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look for a moment or two, because we don't have much time left, but let's look for a moment or two at the enduring, or I should say, at the different kinds of pain. Take your Bibles now, turn to Proverbs chapter 30, look with me if you will, verse 33. The book of Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33. Listen to what it says, if you will. Verse 33, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. What do we have here? We have here physical pain. Now turn, if you will, to Psalm 88, or Psalm 3, Genesis 37, I should say, and look with me at verses 18 down through verse 28, and then Genesis chapter 37, verses 34 and 35, and I'd rather you'd look at that for a moment, because that seems to be much more important. In Genesis chapter 37, we find verse 34 and 5, we read, "And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him." Here you have not only physical pain, but in this portion of the Word of God, you have mental pain. When we lose a loved one, we have mental pain. But then there's a third kind of pain. And this is the kind of pain that every individual must face and will undergo if that person ever comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? It is known as spiritual pain. Take your Bibles now. Turn to Psalm chapter 88. Look with me at verse 1. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. What do you have here? This is known as spiritual pain. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? By spiritual pain, we mean the pain that comes to the individual when that individual is under Holy Spirit conviction. Most of you out there today, you don't know what I'm talking about. Most of you have made a mental assent to a given truth. You've so-called accepted Jesus as your Savior by walking the aisle, taking the preacher by the hand, maybe being baptized or speaking in an unknown gibberish called tongues, and you call that salvation, or else you've gone into the baptismal tank, a dry sinner, and come out a wet sinner, and they've told you that baptism washes away your sins and it doesn't do anything of the kind. Most of you do not understand what Holy Spirit conviction is all about. You see, before a person gets saved, God the Holy Spirit inflicts upon that individual spiritual pain. The description is found right here in Psalm chapter 88. For my soul is full of troubles. My life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Then thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all my ways. This is spiritual pain. Here is a sinner under conviction, and that individual is made to know and to feel and understand and to cry out because of the pain that that person is in. That individual knows that God is angry with him. That individual knows what it means to be a hell-deserving sinner. That individual knows that God has put him there. He's in the lowest darkness. In other words, he can't find Christ. He would like to. He prays, and it seems as if his prayer isn't rising any higher than the ceiling. The heaven over him is like brass, and the earth underneath him is like dust, and we find he cries, and it doesn't seem to be any do any good, and yet the Lord God of heaven is guiding every step that that individual has taken. But this is spiritual pain, and I want to say something to you very kindly, and yet absolutely, because this is such an unknown reality at this present hour. No individual ever gets saved without Holy Spirit conviction, and Holy Spirit conviction is what makes this real to the individual. Now, if you've never been there, put it down. You have never come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've discussed for a moment or two the existence of pain and the different kinds of pain. Now, let's look in a moment or two that are left at the enduring of this pain by the Lord Jesus Christ. My Lord endured all three kinds of pain that are in this world at this hour. First of all, there was the physical pain that he endured. preacher. What in the world are you talking about? In Isaiah chapter 52, look with me, if you will, verses 13 and 14, and you see the physical pain that the Lord Jesus Christ endured on our behalf. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, we read, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Now, what does this mean? It means that the Lord Jesus Christ was buffeted and beaten until his face was black and blue and marked and everything like that, and so he was an individual who could hardly be recognized. He was buffeted by the fists of ungodly men. You see, you and I were there. Then the Lord Jesus Christ was also scourged, and scourging there was an awful thing. We found in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 26, we read, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head." Now this was physical pain that our Lord Jesus Christ endured, but he still wasn't done. In his physical pain, we find in verse 35, we read of Matthew 27, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down they watched him there." Here is the physical pain that the Lord Jesus Christ endured. Many people today think the Lord Jesus Christ was a weakling. No, my friend. He was a strong, stalwart man. There was in him no sin, and yet he became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is a physical pain that our Lord endured. But there was also the mental pain. The mental pain caused by our Lord and filled him with anguish. It was caused by rebellion and rejection and reviling. And because of the brevity of time, I'm only mentioning this, and we'll go into that deeper, a little more deeper next time. Then my Lord also suffered spiritual pain. He was assaulted by Satan, and he was abandoned by God. And I want to say that for next time. Now, in these closing moments, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever endured spiritual pain? Has the Holy Spirit of God ever opened your heart and shown you what a hell-deserving, despicable, dirty, filthy sinner you are before the Lord God of heaven? Have you ever been made to cry out because of the wrath of God upon you? Have you ever been made to wonder why the Lord God of heaven didn't send you to hell the next moment? And then in your anguish of soul, you cried out for the Lord, and it seemed like he wouldn't answer you, and Satan began to mock you, but you couldn't stop crying, could you, my friend? This is part of the spiritual pain that a sinner undergoes under conviction. Most of you have missed that, and so I ask you, go back and see if the Lord has ever wrought a work in your heart. My hope is that something has been said to cause you to stir up and make your calling and election sure. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Northier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.